proceed to hear the Minister for Public Expenditure, National Development Plan Delivery and Reform. Minister Pascal Donoghue, please.
Cam Corla. Recent budgets in this House have responded to Brexit, to a pandemic, to the war in Ukraine and now to the rising cost of living. And in response to all of these challenges, government has helped. Businesses received huge support while their trade was disrupted due to COVID. The wages of those impacted by a pandemic were supported. Shelter and warmth has been provided to those fleeing conflict. Significant help was provided and is provided to those coping with large increases in the cost of living. All of this was done from a position of strength. The Government, Minister McGrath and I are deeply aware of the needs of so many, and this is why those actions were taken. But Ireland is still a great country to call home, a safe place in which to live, and a nation which takes its responsibilities to its citizens and to other nations seriously. We are aware of what we owe to each other, particularly our most vulnerable, and we are aware of what we owe to generations to come. This strength is mirrored in our economy. In recent years, we have returned our public finances to surplus twice. We have now decided to set up funds to make best use of those surpluses. We have reduced the burden of our national debt, and we have never had more people working in our country. I remember the opposition to setting up the Rainy Day Fund, then the National Reserve Fund. Well, we know their value now. This economic resilience, the importance of carefully managing our public finances, is at times a difficult argument to make. Making the case for not spending every cent we have. But it allowed the government to help last year when prices began to rise, and it will allow us to help again as the cost of living is still a challenge for so many. €12 billion in cost of living supports have been provided over the last 2 years to families, to businesses, to community organisations, meaning that for many, the supports provided have significantly reduced the impact of inflation. However, even as inflation falls and energy bills begin to decrease, we are conscious that many people listening today are so concerned about rising costs and particularly the challenge of lighting, of heating their homes this winter. So this budget provides an immediate and a substantial response across 2023 and 2024. Our supports are also targeted to those who need them the most, to older persons, to households with young people, and to those with a disability. So today I am announcing that all households will receive a further set of credits to assist with energy bills over the winter period. Three credits of €150 each will be provided between the end of this year and April of next year. A €300 lump sum will be made to recipients of the fuel allowance in the last quarter of the year. An additional €200 will be paid this year to recipients of the Living Alone allowance. And for those in receipt of regular social protection payments, I can confirm to the House that the Christmas bonus will be paid in early December. In addition to this, those in support of a weekly social welfare payment will receive a once-off double week cost of living support payment to all qualifying social protection recipients. This will be paid in January. It will include pensioners, carers, those on disability payments and job seekers. And to support those most in need, a special one-off payment of €400 will be made before Christmas to those who received a carer support grant, disability allowance, blind pension, invalidity pension and the domiciliary care allowance. This is a budget that makes concrete progress in ensuring that Ireland is one of the best places in the world to be a child. A double payment of the child payment worth an additional €140 for each child will be made to all qualifying households before Christmas, with a double payment of the foster care allowance to also be made this year. To ensure that our supports are also targeted to those families that need them the most, I'm also announcing that a €400 lump sum payment will be made to recipients of the working family payment later this year. For the first time, this budget provides for a lump sum payment to each child in receipt of the qualified child increase. To assist families with the costs of education, I'm announcing an extension of the fee waiver on school transport services for the year, an extension of the fee waiver for students sitting state exams, and a €60 million capitation payment for schools, so that they can continue to meet increased running costs and funding for supports of the most disadvantaged groups. I'm also providing a one-off reduction in the student contribution fee by €1,000 for fee-free students, a one-off reduction of approximately 33% in the contribution fee for apprentices in higher education, and an increase in the postgraduate tuition fee contribution by €1,000 for student grant recipients. Recognising the rising costs also have an impact for businesses across the country, I'm today announcing a scheme of business supports worth €250 million. So, Ciam Comhairle, this represents a package of supports worth, over this year and next, €2.3 billion. The payments that I am announcing are clearly substantial. They are needed because the cost of living, as we all know, is still rising. They are, however, of a lower value than a year ago, because the cost of living is not rising as fast as it was a year ago. Prices are high, but inflation is falling, and wages and core payment rates are increasing to fill that gap. These supports reflect that. It is right that temporary challenges are addressed with temporary measures. They cannot become an unaffordable element of ongoing spending. These payments are nature, and they're changing as the level of inflation falls. I now want to outline our broader approach to public spending. It is based on a commitment to safe public finances. The reason the government can deliver further cost of living measures is because we have run budget surpluses, and because our public debt is manageable. While we cannot meet every demand, we know and we do our best to meet most needs for today and also for tomorrow. And this budget is a further step in that direction. In devising our strategy, we ask ourselves, do we spend the current receipts, the current excess receipts from corporation tax, or do we plan for progressive growth in public services while retaining exceptional receipts to invest in and for future generations? We entered this year in a strong position. Our resilience in the aftermath of the pandemic and energy price shocks is mostly due to the public spending policies the government pursued over the past number of years. These policy choices did not happen by accident. And to maintain this balanced, this planned approach, while smoothing the impact of inflation, Minister McGrath and I announced plans in the summer economic statement for an overall budget package of €91.2 billion for 2024. This includes an additional €5.3 billion over what was announced this time last year, and €1 billion more than had been initially planned for 2024. In capital, an additional €900 million has been made available under the National Development Plan. This will support the delivery of the most ambitious and the greenest infrastructure plan in the history of our state. €250 million from those corporation tax that we believe to be temporary in nature will further support this ambition and accelerate the delivery of projects that are almost at completion. This is part of a programme of additional capital investment of €2.25 billion over the years 2024 to 2026. These core plans are in line with what was announced in the summer economic statement. And in addition to the temporary cost of living measures that I've already outlined, I'm announcing further non-core funding of €4.5 billion. This will support the response to exceptional circumstances, including the ongoing impact of COVID-19 on our health services and our humanitarian response to the war in Ukraine and the increased demand for international protection in our country. The past year and a half has seen a dramatic increase in the number of people arriving to our shores seeking our help. Ireland has always been a welcoming country, and I commend communities across our country for opening their hearts, for opening their homes and welcoming those fleeing war. The selfless acts of kindness that the Irish people have demonstrated during that time to those seeking support and protection highlights the best of our nature. And taken together, these measures will put in place the building blocks for further improvements in the delivery of our public services and support a fair and equitable response to the needs that our people face today. So, Ceann Comhairle, this is a budget for building a better future for our country. And this starts with making our country one of the best places on earth in which to be a child. Ending child poverty remains a core ambition of this government, and the child poverty unit is now established in the Department of the Taoiseach. And in August, the government published a programme plan on child poverty and child wellbeing to transform the lives of our younger citizens, and that plan is reflected in this budget. We will continue to improve our understanding in this area, and I've allocated an additional €1 million to the Central Statistics Office for the Growing Up in Ireland survey to meet that goal. But in addition to the direct supports to family income that I outlined as part of our cost of living package, I'm announcing the following permanent changes to our social protection payments, specifically targeting the wellbeing of children. I'm raising the qualified child increase by €4 to €46 per week for under 12s and €54 per week for over 12s. The Hot School Meals programme will be expanded to a further 900 primary schools in April of 2024. Parents' benefits will be extended to 9 weeks from August 2024, and I'm also increasing the monthly rate of the domiciliary care allowance by €10, extending the child benefit payment to 18-year-olds in full-time education, and raising the income threshold on the working family payment by €54 per week. Building on this, I'm allocating a further €338 million to the core spending of the Department of Children, Equality, Disability, Integration and Youth. We're building on last year's investment in childcare. The National Childcare Scheme will see a further 25% reduction in childcare costs, which is evidence of our commitment to making childcare affordable and will be implemented from September of 2024. We're also increasing investment on the supply side through additional core funding. This will support providers, support workers and help maintain the fee freeze, and we will increase the statutory foster care rate by the end of 2024 by €75 per week for children under 12 and €73 per week for children over 12, bringing it to €400 and €425 per week respectively. Further supports to that department will provide €64 million for investment in disability services to deliver 90 more additional residential places, further development of respite services, 1,400 day places for school leavers, increased personal assistance hours and rate increases for staff who are providing these home supports. Education, as we know so well, is vital for investing in our children, vital for supporting our future. That is why this budget will allocate 10.5 billion euro to the Department of Education in 2024, including a capital budget of 940 million euro. This will facilitate the continued rollout of urgently needed school building projects, including the 300 building projects already underway. A further 200 will commence construction over the course of 2024 and 2025. This builds on the progress we have made in building a more inclusive education system and will provide for over 740 additional teachers to support those with special education needs in special classes, in special schools and in mainstream settings. I'm also providing for over 1,200 additional SNAs, giving us the highest number of SNAs we've ever had in our education system. This will provide additional resources to our special schools to support them in the vital work they do in supporting our most vulnerable students. Count Corla, reducing the cost of education is also a priority for this government, which is why I am providing funding to extend the free school book scheme to all junior cycle pupils in recognised post-primary schools within the free education scheme from September next year, and this will benefit over 200,000 pupils. Further measures include capitation payments to schools from the beginning of 2024 and a 50 million euro increase in funding for school transport. These announcements represent further important strides in transforming the quality, the affordability and the inclusivity of our education system. But while providing these supports, we also need to ensure that our welfare system improves living standards and helps all fulfil their potential. I'm announcing a social protection package for 2024 worth almost 1.1 billion euro. It is targeted to those with the greatest need, in particular our children. This includes, for an individual in receipt of a weekly social protection payment, I'm providing for an increase of 12 euro per week. To further support those with a disability and to support our carers, I am increasing the carers' allowance means test disregard to 450 euro for a single person and 900 euro for a couple. I'm allocating additional funds to provide free travel for people medically certified unfit to drive and reducing the minimum weekly hours threshold for eligibility for the wage subsidy scheme from 21 hours to 15. The Minister for Finance has announced as a one-off tax scheme a plan to further offset increased mortgage costs for eligible claimants in early 2024. And further to this, my colleague, the Minister for Social Protection, will work with the Minister to provide a payment where necessary through the Department of Social Protection, with the details to follow. It's also important that we begin to address the long-term sustainability challenges faced by our pension scheme. Earlier this year, the government decided against increasing the pension age, but instead decided to take a measured approach to increasing PRSI contributions on a phased, a gradual basis over a number of years. It's therefore appropriate that we act now to increase PRSI contribution rates from October the 1st next year. All PRSI contribution rates will increase by 0.1%. This measure, which will raise 240 million euro in a full year, is a modest but it is a necessary step to secure pension entitlements for this and also for future generations. The Minister for Social Protection will also bring forward proposals on a new pay-related benefit in advance of the Social Welfare Bill. Taken together, the measures that we are introducing throughout the remainder of this year and next year represent substantial levels of state support for our most vulnerable. And over the past 2 years, the government has successfully combined increases in core social welfare payments in combination with a series of targeted cost of living packages to provide the most protection to those households with the lowest incomes from the impact of inflation. This budget builds on that approach. And to continue to provide support where it is needed, the provision of housing continues to be an absolute priority for this government. Housing delivery is performing strongly, with more than 21,000 new homes started in the first 8 months of the year, meaning that we now expect to exceed our target of delivering 29,000 new homes by the end of the year. As a result of this progress, around 400 first-time buyers are purchasing their own home each week. And next year, we will accelerate this progress with just under €7 billion of funding to the Department of Housing, Local Government and Heritage, of which €2.6 billion will be capital investment in housing. This will be added to, it will be supplemented by the Land Development Agency investment and by Housing Finance Agency lending, resulting in an overall capital provision for housing of over €5 billion for 2024. So some of the measures included in that are as follows. €1.9 billion in capital funding to deliver 9,300 new build social homes. €265 million to support the delivery of 6,400 affordable homes. €242 million for homeless services and accommodation, and a further €35 million to support the Housing First initiative and home homeless adults in permanent homes with full supports. €90 million to the retrofitting of social housing in 2024, which demonstrates the state's commitment to help people reduce their energy bills and ensure our country meets our climate targets. €207 million will also be provided at bringing back into supply vacant and derelict units through the Voids programme and Croí Cónaithe Town's vacant grant scheme to support the regeneration of towns through the Urban Regeneration Development Fund. These measures renew our commitment to deliver housing for all, which will see us deliver 300,000 new homes by 2030. And just as housing has been a challenge for our society, a challenge that we are rising to, so of course the last 3.5 years have been a period of great challenge for our health services. Similar to other countries, the health sector continues to experience the impacts of the post-emergency phase of the pandemic. And in recognition of these challenges, the government has prioritised very significant investment in our health services with a level of spending without precedent. As a result of this, we spend more of our national health than many other countries on health, more of our national income on health than many other countries. And this investment is delivering an expansion in capacity through the funding of over 2,500 additional beds in hospital community settings and an increase of over 22,000 staff through additional recruitment. We have cut costs for patients across the board. We have removed hospital charges. We have had the biggest expansion of access to free GP care in the history of the state. We have reduced the drug payment scheme costs, and we have introduced publicly funded assisted human reduction. Budget 2024 continues the very high level of investment in our public health system by providing for a total allocation of €22.5 billion. And this includes an €808 million increase in core current funding to address the demographic and service pressures that we know are there. I'm also allocating non-core reserves of over €1 billion for COVID and Ukraine spending in the health sector. This will facilitate continued investment in public health measures, including, of course, our successful vaccination programme. It also includes further temporary resources beyond those announced in the summer economic statement to fund the post-pandemic escalation in demand and activity across our acute hospitals through a health resilience fund. The value of this record level of health investment, of course, needs to be fully realised with a focus on productivity, on governance and how we can consolidate our funding capacity. Accordingly, this will be accompanied by a programme of initiatives to improve financial oversight across the health system as part of our reform agenda. This work will be complete by the end of the year. The government remains committed to reducing waiting lists in our hospitals and our community services, and this budget will fund a range of measures to reduce waiting times for inpatient care and improve access to community diagnostics. We will continue our targeted recruitment of additional staff. We'll do this to enhance capacity across a range of acute hospital community settings, as well as our surgical hubs. And we will continue the reform measures to progress the regionalisation of our health service to make it even more responsive to each patient's needs. I'm also ensuring increased supports across our community services through additional funding for mental health services, noting that today is World Mental Health Day. Social inclusion services and older people and the health and our wellbeing services are therefore so important. €1.23 billion is being provided as part of the National Development Plan for the delivery of additional health infrastructure to enhance the wider sustainability of our health services. So looking to the future, looking again to the role of education, investing in further and higher education, in innovation and in creativity is our future. In 2024, I committed to allocating over €4.1 billion to these sectors. And reflecting their vital role in our economic success, I am providing €60 million to address sustainable funding of higher education as set out in Funding the Future, as well as additional funding for greater capacity in medicine places. I'm also providing additional supports to allow greater access for students already attending third level education, including increases in the maintenance grant rates, the restoration of maintenance grants to eligible postgraduate students on a similar basis to undergraduates, and improvements to the thresholds for maintenance and student contribution grants from September. In 2024, I am providing €67 million for the Craft Apprenticeship Scheme to over 16,000 places next year. This is to help us do better with regard to our climate challenges. It is to help us do better in building more homes. I also want to turn briefly to the National Training Fund. It plays a vital funding role in how we future-proof the skill needs of the labour market and ensure workers can readily access lifelong learning opportunities. I'm keen to ensure the fund is used in an effective and sustainable way. And it is in surplus because of the combination of increases in employers' PRSI and the number of people at work in our country. At the same time, there are funding needs for higher education, but meeting those needs is always inside the parameters of each budget, and I want to re-examine this to find a better way of meeting those needs. So to that end, officials will bring forward options, including looking at legislative changes for the future operation of the fund. And we will do this because a highly educated workforce creates the investments, creates the ability that we need to support our country and to create an enterprising and a productive economy. And this sector is the linchpin to our economic growth, to our future well-being, to our prosperity. And this is why, as a government, we've invested heavily to protect enterprises through the challenges of Brexit, of COVID, of the consequences of the energy crisis. And the fruits, the consequences of this support can be seen across a range of economic measures, not least the fact that over 2.6 million people now work in Ireland. As I mentioned earlier, a €250 million package of temporary supports will be developed to support these businesses through the current challenges associated with the cost of living. And today, in addition to this, I am allocating an additional €35 million to the Department of Enterprise, Trade and Employment. And this money is in conjunction with the existing resources available to the department to allow them to do the following. €9 million for our local enterprise offices. These are the hubs for enterprise creation, for business startups in local towns and communities. And this money will allow them to extend their supports, to extend their mentoring programmes to a wider cohort of local businesses. €3 million for the Digital Services Coordinator to support enforcement of the Digital Services Act, and an increase in the IDA's capital allocation of €27 million to accelerate its regional property grants programme to ensure balanced regional inward investments. And this is because a better connected, a more regionally balanced Ireland is also at the heart of our National Development Plan. It is a blueprint for building a more sustainable, a more forward-looking country. And today I am providing an additional €900 million in 2024 for essential investment in more schools, in more hospital and better hospital infrastructure, and for better public and road transport. Today also marks the first day since my own department took the mandate on accelerating delivery of the National Development Plan. And that is why I have amended the public works contract. It's why I've developed new infrastructure guidelines, which will be published in the coming weeks, to ease the administrative burden of approving National Development Plan projects. An independent evaluation of these priorities and the capacity of the National Development Plan will soon inform the delivery of those priorities. This is also why a time-limited fund to accelerate key priority capital projects over the years 2024 to 2026 will also be provided, funded by windfall corporate tax receipts. Minister McGrath has already spoken about how the establishment of long-term savings funds will help with the investment of some of these receipts, which is why the Infrastructure, Climate and Nature Fund is so important. To protect our investment, to protect our capital expenditure in the event of an economic downturn, enabling continued investment in large projects that drive growth. A further plan, the Climate Action Plan, will deliver positive change for our climate while improving the lives of communities all over Ireland. And accelerating the green transition is the best way of protecting the security of our energy supplies, of breaking our dependency on imports, and protecting our people from fossil fuel price shocks. Ireland is already number one in the world for the share of electricity demand met by onshore wind. By 2030, in just over 6 years' time, we aim to meet 80% of Irish electricity needs from renewable energy. And this budget provides the funding for the staffing of the agencies to deliver that goal. To help households with the green transition, the budget provides a further €380 million to residential and community energy schemes. It will reduce greenhouse gas emissions and energy bills, meaning households throughout Ireland will be warmer, they will be healthier, while also having more money within their pockets. And within this funding, a record allocation will be made to the Warmer Home Scheme that provides free energy efficiency upgrades to the homes of those who need it the most. Funding will also be provided to accelerate community-based partnerships to deliver energy savings, for solar supports to allow households to profit by selling their energy back to the grid, and a new loan interest loan scheme that will work alongside the Sustainable Energy Authority of Ireland grants to allow everyone the opportunity to benefit from energy savings. Individual households, schools, farms, local businesses and community enterprises, including sports club and also community halls, are all eligible for support through schemes that have already installed solar panels on 70,000 buildings across the country. Applying an appropriate price to the climate harmful effects of carbon through the carbon tax remains an important measure in how we work together to meet our goals. So today I'm announcing an additional €165 million of carbon tax revenues to be available in 2024 to support a just transition, to help to address fuel poverty, bringing the total carbon tax revenue available for investment to €788 million, and almost half of this, some €380 million, will be invested in improving the energy efficiency of our homes. In addition, the tax will fund €262 million of social protection spend next year, an additional €44 million of targeted social welfare measures, namely the increases in the qualified child payment, the changes in the income eligibility threshold for the working family payment, all to ensure that the most vulnerable are protected from any unintended impact of this tax increase. An additional €32 million in carbon tax funding will be provided to the Department of Agriculture, Food and Marine next year to support up to 50,000 farmers to improve biodiversity, to improve climate, air and water quality, and to continue to cut down on our carbon emissions. The National Development Plan will prioritise investment in sustainable, inactive and accessible transport, because it is transport that plays a critical role not only in our connectivity but also those climate ambitions. And to that end, the budget will provide €3.5 billion to the Department of Transport, €892 million in current funding and €2.7 billion in capital. The current funding will provide for the continuation of the temporary 20% fare reductions until the end of 2024, the rollout of further services, of bus connects, of Connecting Ireland and new town service plans, and the transition to world-class fuel-efficient maritime and inland aviation rescue services. It will support the construction of Metrolink, the core commuter rail project, and investment in electric and hybrid electric buses, and the essential infrastructure that we need for new bus and rail fleets, such as the electrification of depots, as well as €1.35 billion for the development, the protection, the renewal of our roads network. As part of the cost of living package, the eligibility for the young adult card has been extended to cover adults aged 19 to 25. And in addition, I'll be working with the Minister for Transport in respect of further public transport affordability measures targeted at those under 18, with a view to implementation in 2025. This government has invested heavily in walking, in our cycling infrastructure, and it has improved public transport. And we will continue to meet our commitment to invest almost €1 million per day in cycling, in walking infrastructure. And investment in greenways is also envisioned and seen through an all-Ireland lens. So this is why construction on the southern sections of the Carlingford Lock Greenway is due for completion this December, with the Northern Ireland route to be completed in 2024, linking our communities across borders. And this transport infrastructure is just one of the ways in which we keep communities connected. Digital innovation has also allowed our communities to stay connected even when we were physically apart. And the National Broadband Scheme is at the heart of this. The government is keeping its promise to ensure every citizen in Ireland has access to quality high-speed broadband, connecting rural communities, workers and businesses, supporting remote working, online education, and allowing us all to keep in touch with family and friends. The National Broadband Scheme expects to reach 200,000 premises by the end of the year, and next year a further €348 million will be invested to provide another 100,000 homes with the opportunity to connect to fibre broadband. And this means that nobody will be left behind as we move towards a more digitised society at the forefront of global and European technological progress. But of course, as our dependence on these networks increases, so does also the risk of disruption. And the government is determined to protect Irish citizens and their data, as well as digital infrastructure services. So we provide for the continued expansion of the National Cyber Security Centre to strengthen cyber security and resilience, address the cyber skills gap, and develop the cyber security industry in Ireland. But all of this means better access to broadband, breathing new life into so many communities. And the funding I am providing for rural and community development in this budget also does this. It supports vibrant, inclusive and sustainable communities across our country. The budget provision of €431 million for this department provides over €205 million for rural development and over €220 million for community development. It will support investment in regional, rural and local communities in our islands and may initiatives to support social inclusion. In addition to this funding, I am providing a targeted social inclusion support of €11 million to provide assistance to new arrivals through the Social Inclusion and Community Activation Programme. And I'm also providing €10 million to projects approved under the Community Recognition Fund, which acknowledges the contribution of so many communities in welcoming and hosting arrivals from Ukraine and from other countries. And all of this is done with the aim of promoting social cohesion and in supporting the development of communities throughout our country. Agriculture and farming households are, of course, at the heart of our rural communities. They play a crucial role in supporting our economy, protecting our landscape and enhancing our environment and producing world-class food. It's an important driver of our rural economy, which is why I am allocating €1.9 billion for the Department of Agriculture, Food and Marine to broaden the rollout of the nearly €10 billion CAP strategic plan to 2027. Over €700 million has been provided in 2024 for farmers participating in agri-environmental schemes, including through the Agri-Climate Rural Environment Scheme, Areas of Natural Constraint Scheme, Forestry Organic Farming and other agri-environmental schemes. And in addition to this, the Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine will be administering over €1.2 billion of EU funding in direct payment to farmers. The budget today provides €1.17 billion for the Department of Tourism, Culture, Arts, Gaeltacht, Sport and Media. The allocation will support enterprise and employment in our tourism sector, also through targeted measures to support businesses impacted as a result of the war in Ukraine, to support our creative arts sector, fund our national cultural institutions and support our audiovisual industry, to support Irish as a living language. And also, as we all know, recent weeks have reminded us all of the inspirational potential of sport. And this is why this budget will promote the contribution of sport to a healthier, to a more active society and promote the increasing participation of women in sport and invest in our sporting infrastructure. And we will continue to invest in our Irish language broadcasting. And as we plan for a better future for the people of this country, I recognise it's essential that people who live here not only are safe in their communities, but they feel safe. This is why I'm committing a package of €172 million in 2024 for the justice sector to enable continued investment in existing services. I'm pleased to announce funding for recruitment next year of 1,000 Gardaí and up to 250 Garda civilian staff in specialist roles to free up more Gardaí for frontline duties, and in addition, an additional €25 million in the annual overtime budget will mean the Gardaí can be deployed as needed to tackle crime, to tackle antisocial behaviour, leading to stronger, high-visibility policing in our cities, our towns and our communities. And this budget will provide for additional staffing in our court service, our prison services, the Data Protection Commission and Policing Authority, as well as an increase in a range of domestic, sexual and gender-based violence initiatives and an extension of the youth diversion programme throughout the state. Staying with our safety and with security, and in recognition of the continuing reform, the continuing importance of the defence sector, I'm announcing an allocation of €1.23 billion for the Department of Defence. This includes additional current expenditure of €21 million, an additional €34 million in capital expenditure compared to their original plan, to further progress the priority recommendations of the Commission on Defence Forces and the Independent Review Group, as well as funding the first year of the Tribunal of Inquiry. And we will do all of this because increasing our permanent defence force numbers is key to building capacity and further progressing the reform programme which is underway. And this allocation will provide for the recruitment, the training, the support of a net additional 400 military personnel next year, as well as posts across the Department of Defence and our Defence Forces to implement reform and important roles such as cyber responders and data and cyber analysts. So this recognises the vital work of our Defence Forces here at home and abroad. And this is also because we play such a proud role in world affairs. We're known for our contribution to global peace. In 2023, Ireland provided the highest ever level of official development assistance in cash terms and as a percentage of our gross national income. I'm proud we have met the twin challenges of providing for war refugees without losing sight of other crises, including the drought in the Horn of Africa and the awful floods in Pakistan. So in 2024, I am providing €776.5 million in funding to Irish Aid in the Department of Foreign Affairs, which is an 8.4% increase in the level of funding last year, allowing this to reach a record level. We'll also provide at least half of the additional funding necessary to achieve the government's 2025 climate finance pledge. Supported by European Union funding, the Global Ireland Strategy supports the development of our country at home as well as our values elsewhere. Last month, I attended the launch of a new round of Peace Plus funding supported by the European Union and agreed with the United Kingdom. To support this work, €1.1 billion will be invested in projects that support shared peace and prosperity across Northern Ireland and our border counties. And the government has to date allocated €247 million of our own Shared Ireland initiative. And we recognise that half a century as a proud member of the European Union has been transformative for Ireland and its people. Our interests are best served by active, engaged membership, and recent years have highlighted the importance of solidarity with our European family. The €1 billion of funding reserved for Ireland from the Brexit Adjustment Reserve is the largest single allocation for any member state. It continues to help with the consequences of Brexit. The Recovery and Resilience Facility, under which Ireland is set to almost receive €1 billion in EU funding up to 2026, supports us in mitigating the effects of COVID, as well as allowing us to continue on a path of a greener and more digital recovery. Repower EU funding will also help accelerate our green transition, and cohesion funding continues to play a vital role in our efforts. So, Ciaran Chorla, budget reform remains central to public expenditure management. It's a key part of the department of my work. Performance, equality, green and well-being budgeting, along with the spending review, are examples of how this work will be done. And the paper on the well-being impacts of this budget will follow shortly. Our public servants are key to this work in meeting the needs of our growing and changing population, enabling this reform. And the current public service agreement, Building Momentum, expires at the end of this year. Later this year, my department will enter talks. We'll endeavour to reach an agreement that's fair for public servants and affordable for taxpayers. And of course, I would expect that the significant package of cost of living and taxation measures provided for in this budget, which will also benefit public servants, would also be factored into those discussions. And we'll enter into these discussions in a world that continues to change, and to change quickly. We know of the opportunities that this change brings, particularly for an economy that is so skilled, that is so entrepreneurial, in a country that is open and committed to our role in the European Union and in the international community. But we also know of the challenges. We know of the risks too. The existential risk of climate change, the threat of violence, and to the rule of law around the world. And in my introduction today, I acknowledged how all recent budgets were defined by those challenges. And any one of those challenges at other points in our history could have caused such long-lasting harm to our economy. But this has not happened. This is because our public finances were gradually, step by difficult step, returned to health, from deficit to balance to surplus. And this budget, presented by Minister McGrath and I today, continues that approach. Not spending every cent today, leaving some aside for tomorrow. Helping with the cost of living, but changing that help as inflation slows. Spending more on public services and building more homes, more schools, and better public transport, but not basing that spending on money we may not always have. This is why this budget will help with the cost of living, will help with better public services, and will give more children a better start in life. And that is why I commend Budget 2024 to the House.